wackier and wackier. Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California.
Great time to be alive.
For the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel across the world. So the internet can be used for evil, but we're trying to use it for good, folks.
Yes.
So check out the content, videos, articles, podcasts, books to read, pastors to check out, worship bands to listen to, everything to expand, deepen your walk with Christ. That's what we're about here. We're all about Jesus. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And if you care to partner with us, we would love that. You can click the donate now button and contribute whatever amount that may be. Nothing is too small. Also, if you are blessed by the content, one of the greatest gifts you can give us is to share or forward the message to other people. Post it on your wall on Facebook. Hit the like button. We get calls from India all the time telling us and emails that you guys really should have more subscribers for all the content you produce. There's nothing better than having Muhammad in India tell you, you really need more subscribers. You guys have 572 yes. videos and you have 800 subscribers.
We don't tell them enough to hit the subscribe button. You yes. need to do that more.
I like the little dancing emoji thing that they create. So I listened to this other pastor and he, every 5 minutes, hit that subscribe button, smash that button. I'm like, oh my God, you need to stop. So we don't say it enough,
yes.
but we don't need to be saying it every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Smash the like button.
Smash.
Subscribe. The like
button. Subscribe.
Oh, I just ruined our video because they're going to yell at me for the volume being
yeah,
too loud.
Yeah, you really need to stop doing that. I get traumatized. So we need you to subscribe, please. That's the least you could do to help yes. us out. It yes. would really be awesome. You go on YouTube.
It's the subscribe. Least you can do.
It's the least. Really, if you love us, please.
And make sure you comment while you are watching. If you have something to say about A.W. Tozier's devotional, or maybe there's something that we said that you would like to comment on. I also like to go to the audience sometimes to give me words that I can't think of, or help us out with the meaning of something.
Definitions
of words that are way over my head. Hedia probably knows them. She just likes to see me struggle. So I have to go to you guys to help me out with what, some of those words. The other thing that I want you to do is to make sure and check out some of our sponsors down in the description. LifeWise is one of those sponsors that helps you with inflammation, sleep, and beauty.
Notice he points to himself when he says beauty. You know, the fight yeah. for mirrors in our house. Right here. Proof.
But check it out. At least go there. Check it out. There's something that you'll like. If you don't like it, you send it back. I have to check and see. But for the longest time, not one single customer has sent anything back for the first year or two that we've been in business.
Nice.
So make sure and check that out. That's LifeWise. Go to livelifewise.tv. The link is in the description. And then StreamYard. That's what we're using to go live. And if you have a hobby or something you want to share and tell other people about, then you can do that. You know what? You don't even have to show your video. You know, some people are just don't like to see themselves. You can actually do StreamYard without
put your cat on.
Well, just put a picture. Yeah, put a picture of cat. Yes. We can put a picture of Ginger on there.
I've got some good pictures of Ginger.
Yeah, you can put them on there. And so you can do that if you want to record your podcast. Our friend, oh my gosh, I just forgot.
Cindy?
Oh, no, our friend Todd Frazier on the school board. He just came out with a new podcast. And it's called Hub. No, Hub PYL.
Oh.
Using the same equipment. So, so just make sure and go to StreamYard and check it out. GetStreamYardNow.com. The scripture that we will be referring to later is John 3, 30 through 31. John 3, 30 through 31. We're reading from A.W. Tozier's Tozier for the Christian Leader. It's March 28th, and the title is Just a Huckster.
Huckster.
Just a Huckster.
I have to be careful about breathing. They told me to stop breathing into the microphone.
Oh, really? When did they tell you that? They just told you stop breathing.
Stop breathing into the microphone. So I hold it and I go. There's a lot of rules to be famous, folks.
The reference is John 3:30, and it says, he must increase and I must decrease. This is really hard for me.
Why?
It's hard to decrease.
It's hard for you to decrease. You're like, can't we just stay the same?
Yeah. Can't we be just like
equal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just stay the same slightly?
Slightly. Or how about if you just balloon up next to me and I get to stay the same?
Yes. Tozier says, some young preacher will study until he has to get thick glasses to take care of his failing eyesight because he has an idea. He wants to become a famous preacher. He wants to use Jesus Christ to make him a famous preacher. He's just a huckster, buying and selling and getting gain. They will ordain him, and he will be known as Reverend. And if he writes a book, they will make him a doctor.
My God, and so true.
And he will be known as doctor. But he's still a huckster, buying and selling and getting gain. And when the Lord comes back, he will drive him out of the temple along with the other cattle. We can use the Lord for anything or try to use him. But what I'm preaching and what Paul taught and what was brought down through the years and what gave breath to the modern missionary movement that you and I know about and belong to was just the opposite. Oh God, we don't want anything you have. We want you. That's the cry of a soul on its way up.
Dear Lord, give us that hunger to know you. Deliver us from the pride that makes us want to use you. Let me pray today with John. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
That is so good.
But boy, aren't we seeing that a lot.
Oh my God. It's as if he, it, oh, sorry. I did that again. Oh. We.
Go ahead.
We. I just totally lost my train of thought. I gotta put gosh into my vocabulary. It's very difficult for me. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying.
It's as if you wrote it yesterday. So.
That, you know, it's really interesting because you have everybody in the world right now is writing a book.
Thanks for that.
but they're using it not in the way that you're going to use your book.
I don't want
to. You got to no. You got to be very careful.
Yeah, I don't want to use my book for anything. I just want it to help people. If it does, great. If it doesn't, fine.
Yeah, and I've always told people. Again, I've been helping people write books for a few years now. Not as much lately as I did, you know, a few years ago. But I told them. I said, you don't just understand when you write a book, you're not going to make any money off your book. You know, people like Stephen King or the couple other people, I can't remember the lady's name who wrote the book with the
Well, Furtick's do the new you book. I see it in the airport on the placements.
Yeah, so he's probably making some money on his book.
Yeah.
Now what he's doing with that money, that's would be interesting to know.
Puts it in his pocket.
Well, Pastor Chan.
Oh yeah, no, he's no Francis.
Francis Chan. He gives all of his money away. There's not a dime that he takes from his books.
What Furtick has told in public interviews is he keeps a very nominal salary from the church. His wealth comes from his book because he says, I do that on my own time, and that's not the property of the church. So he tries to keep his church salary low and lives and gains through the book.
All right. Well, I think that could
be. That's fair.
That's acceptable. Yeah. He has my approval.
Whether he still does that, I don't know, but that's what I've heard in an interview.
But to end my point is that you got all these people writing books, you got people, you know, getting on television and podcasts and things like that. All these things are great, but you can't lose the focus of what it is that you started it all for. So if I'm out there talking to the ducks about Jesus Christ, as I was when I started, and suddenly
you were directing it at the ducks?
No, I was just out there. The ducks
were just,
out, you know.
Right? They were just decoration.
They were just decoration. And occasionally somebody would be walking by and they would stop and listen to what I had to say. And so I think that was probably more important to God.
Not like Dr. Doolittle.
No.
Where you're like trying to gather the animals.
No, hold on. I want to finish. But suddenly, let's say I get blown up and for whatever reason, we catch fire. And now suddenly we're on, I was going to say CNN just to be funny, because I don't know that I would ever go on CNN. I'd have to say no. No, I'd have to.
I did Anderson Cooper.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get on television, we blow up. Maybe they invite us to the harvest here at Anaheim, right? The harvest crusade.
That Greg Laurie invites us to
harvest? Yes. But the thing that I think is important to understand is that all these things can happen, but we want to make sure that we never lose our purpose of how it started, of Amen. You joining me and saying, you know, we need to share how God changed our lives, how God saved us from our sin, how Amen. God gave us this amazing family that on occasion drives us nuts,
Amen.
But on occasion gives us blessings. And to share that.
Don't you want
to
be us?
How you can come out of darkness. And clearly, listen, the difficulties that maybe I have about my son and you have with my son forgetting to take out the trash, which drives us crazy. But it's nothing like the debauchery that we were involved in that was just destroying our life with God.
Absolutely.
That those things have to be remembered. That it could all be given, it could be all taken away, but nothing changes about the fact that we are here for God's purpose and to share how he changed our lives and what a difference it made to us and maybe even some people that perhaps listen to us.
So maybe that's why we only have 273 subscribers.
It doesn't matter. But we look on our podcast and we have thousands. So what is it, right? I've even told people, and I've even heard others say, Dan Bongino, for instance, who's huge right now, he's getting like 110,000 people watching every day, his Rumble.
It's amazing. On that rickety platform too.
That was never the focus. It was just continue. And you'll be rewarded. And it could be just rewarded with that one person whose life was changed. Maybe that police officer in San Francisco and his son, who accepted Jesus Christ on our show. Maybe that's the whole purpose.
And yeah, we get comments from people all the time of how it's helped them.
What is this now that you've got your train of thought back?
No, but I want to go back to the beginning of the, my favorite part is this beginning, that the preacher studies until his eyesight fails because he wants to be famous. Mm. And he's going to use Jesus to make him famous. And this is such a poignant point. It's like, it's so illustrative of the problem because the average churchgoer cannot recognize the difference between somebody who studied to become famous and good and somebody who sincerely has a heart for God. Mm-hmm. Because you could be a really good orator and a really good student and deliver a powerful message. But if your heart's not in it and you are not, and your heart's not devoted to Jesus, somewhere along the line, you know, as he says, he'll drive you out of the temple with the cattle. It's such a danger. And we see that all the time. We see it constantly.
How does a new Christian determine the person that they're listening to, the where they're at on this aspect, whether they're a huckster or not? What are some things that they can
do? You think false gospel? You just have to listen for deviant teaching. Mm-hmm. Things that you like we found at one of the churches we went to, where you're, it's just like your spidey sense goes up and you're like, uh-uh.
So, the new person who doesn't know scripture would have to investigate. And I think most of the pastors we listen to say, hey, don't just take my word for it. Read the Bible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And in this day and age, there's no excuse for ignorance. Because I, all the time, anytime I hear a new term, oh, Pastor Jack's dispensational. I'm like, well, what's dispensational? Yeah. You know, so. Yeah. I had to go back and watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos and read a bunch of articles on what dispensation is. And so there's so many ways in which we can educate ourselves that we don't have to plead ignorance. I don't think it's a valid excuse in this day and age.
Before we go to the scripture, do you mind if I do something real quick? I want to see what we're at here. So we have here the enduring word, and I've talked about it before, but just in case you're new to the show, this is something that we use on occasion to look around and see what's happening. But it's the enduring word. Let me go to the homepage. That'll probably be easier. So this gentleman who put this website together, and so far we find it fairly useful, wouldn't you say?
Everybody does. Yeah. It's a really credible.
David Guzik. And you scroll all the way down to the bottom, and this is where you find the different books. And if you're in, just pick one, just Joel, for instance, and he will not only give you the scripture, but then give some explanation. And he uses A.W. Tozer and other famous orators, you know, adds them in there, and just gives a really good study on what each one of the lines in the verse means, or where it comes from, or other really good information about all the different verses that are in the Bible. I think it's great. And you just go through it, and it's really, really helpful. So I really enjoy that website. I think it's really helpful for us. And now I've completely took us away from where we need to be. Oh, I can probably go back. One more. There we go. That's it, right?
All right. Can we get to some of the comments?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot coming in.
Hi, Kelly and Carrie. A lady saying hello to each other. Hello, Kate. Quality over quantity. Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. I think she was referring to our subscribers.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are definitely quality.
Yes. And Kelly says she subscribed on YouTube and also Apple Podcasts. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly. And it's a good afternoon to the K team. Oh, yeah. Carrie's saying word salad. Good gosh, golly, geez, all related to God. Gosh is related to God too. Don't get me in trouble, Carrie. I feel the same way about my book, Hedia. I'd be happy if it kept kids safe. That is all, and helping caregivers be aware of grooming. So that's Kate's topic of her book. To educate people on the problems of human trafficking and of groomers. And Carrie says, have been you too, Hedia. Maybe most were. I can't remember what that was about. God increases, just do what God leads. And you research and in the word and research in the Bible, Carrie says. And Kelly's saying hi to Kate. And Carrie's saying, yes, sorry, Hedia, about gosh. He said to use gosh instead.
Yeah. Corrine must be tired of me today because she was on our 2-hour marathon with the president of the school board today.
Yes, I saw that.
It went on for a very long time. I hope it was you found it helpful, Corrine, because I know that she's a monster in our group.
Yeah, Corrine's awesome.
She's fantastic in helping us fight against the tyrants on the school board and the state of California. We want to get to the scripture, John 3:30-31.
Sure. All right. It's short.
It's a shorty. Oh, there you go.
So this is the disciples of John the Baptist are coming to him to basically kind of understand who Jesus is. They're just like, what is going on? Who's this guy? And John says, basically, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He's the one we've been waiting for. And so he says, therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. So he was trying to put an end to that whole controversy, telling them that Jesus is from above. He's from heaven, so he's above all of us.
And weren't there some people also believing that John might be the Messiah?
Well, that's the point, is he's trying to dispel. And he consistently, from the scripture we know, was telling him, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. So he never pretended to be. He was baptizing repentance. And he says, I baptize with water, repentance, but he will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So always giving deference to Christ. But people, I guess they needed to put those rumors to bed once and for all.
You know, you just suddenly reminded me of my reading this morning, and it was about the woman who used her tears and her hair to wash Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
Mary And I guess there's some theories on whether they're all in the perfume, the alabaster bottle, whether it's all the same Mary, that it's all Mary Magdalene, or there are multiple Marys. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you all feel if it's multiple Marys, but
I wasn't sure. That's why I said the woman.
Yeah.
I know I need to go back. I was in the middle of looking through some of that and then had to run. I was running out of time. But and then Jesus saying, what have you guys done? Like, look at this woman.
Right.
She's, you guys are, and I don't know if it's about the same time, but you guys are busy arguing about who's going to be the leader after.
The greatest.
Yeah. who's going to be next? Who's going to sit at the right hand of Jesus at the table and all this nonsense? They're all so worried about what they're going to get out of it as far as position. And they're saying, look at this woman. She's using her tears and her hair. She can't afford the oil that's in that bottle. I mean, you guys are pathetic. I love that stuff. I love this stuff too, where AW says,
huckster.
Yeah, you guys, he's going to be thrown out with the cattle.
Right?
Pretty amazing. Let's see. We had some more comments here.
Oh, Carrie just leaves out the G word.
Oh.
Oh my. The book is on grooming and tricks of pedophiles, not traffickers. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Pedophiles.
Yeah. Okay. That is I'm reading some more stuff. I have a reporter contacted me yesterday and is sending me some information on Planned Parenthood and their involvement in some of the most recent things that are going on around here with the recall of the school board members in Orange Unified School District. These parents were voted into the school board at Orange Unified School District, and they were doing some amazing work, and they were getting parents' rights approved and voted on. And here comes the teachers' unions, and Planned Parenthood has spent thousands of dollars and started the recall, and were successful in the last election in recalling.
So both of them are recalled?
Both of them are recalled. And not the group, nor...
Does that mean they can't serve out the term?
No.
They're booted.
So that they either have a special election, I think that's one of the things, or the superintendent gets to
appoint
some people to take their place. But the thing is, the community voted them in. It was an outside organization that got them out.
It's horrible.
That's not how this is supposed to run.
Well, it didn't get them out. People still voted.
Yeah, but the outside organization used thousands of dollars, tens of thousands more than what they were able to put together. Right. And then the outsiders put people at tables in front of Target and Walmart and gave out propaganda, which then scared the community and caused them to vote them out. So they did vote, but it was out of the influence of an outside organization. And it was crazy. It's just so unfortunate. You know, we're doing pretty good here in Placentia Yorba Linda Unified School District.
God, I really hope that they don't do it.
No, I believe we have at least one of the good candidate who's going to be taking a spot. She's fantastic, and she's a Spanish speaker, and we have a huge, in her area, there's a huge Spanish speaking community. So I think we have a really good chance of holding that position there.
Great.
Thank you, you guys. Kate's being very nice and Carrie. Thank you. It's very British of you to say, oh gosh. Was that British?
She gives an explanation here.
Oh.
Where did golly, gosh, and gee come from? The folksy tree are an informal interjection. They are also euphemistic alterations of the word God, or in the case of gee, as in Jesus. Hmm. Of the three, gosh is recorded the earliest around 1750. Golly is dated around 1840. Last but not least is G, an Americanism tracked back to the 1890s.
Wow.
And Kate saying, congratulations, Andy. What a win. Mm. So grateful for Andy's work on the school boards.
Thank you.
And then Kate says, very British to say, oh gosh. Ah. Oh gosh.
Yeah. Leandra, the president of the school board here, we were talking about the spears and the axes that have been thrown at us, and how her kids and my kids have been pulled into it. So these people are ruthless, but I was telling you the other day, it reminds her and I was telling her and you the other day, is that it reminds me of just our work in law enforcement, where you're hiding in the trunk trying to get across, you know, borders, and there's bombs and things going off. But it's all for...
Oh, don't go that far. Mm. I was terrorized in Maryland.
Oh, yeah,
they had They had town halls to throw me out of my job, to kick me, like, basically out of the entire community. They wanted me, like, exiled out of the Muslim community.
Yeah.
And they cut my funding out of the county. They tried to get my funding cut from the feds. It was horrible. They wrote a gazillion articles. They had people come and do an audit of our reports as a result. Oh my goodness. It was crazy. Yeah. They terrorized us.
But it doesn't cause us to give in or give up. You know, we have to just swerve and move and duck.
Bob and weave.
And keep on going. And then there's those folks around us who kind of go do it in the background because they're a little concerned, but they still want to be in the fight. And then you have people that say, you know, just leave me out of it. Good luck.
May the force be with you.
I got other things I got to do. So there's people that are made for different things. So appreciate your, you guys, support all the time. You had a meeting. Speaking of books, you had a meeting the other day.
Yes.
And you're another step. Are we
another step closer?
We're moving forward.
Yes.
What kind of report can you give us on where we're at now?
We have a preliminary title. We're working on the subtitle, but the preliminary title is Living Fearless in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the next, the tagline, we're just working on achieving victory in the five major battlegrounds. From Muslim to soldier of Christ, we're playing around. We're trying to use keywords. So we're trying to use the whole from Muslim or counterterrorism. They were worried I couldn't use from battling Islamic terrorism to soldier for Christ, because Islamic terrorism will probably get hit by Amazon.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, we're still working on that, but we're going to stick with the Living Fearless in Christ, most likely.
One of the things that that we can do is for early purchasers, for those people on the launch, mm-hmm. of the book, those people that purchase early, and they can go to a website and purchase, and then enter to be in a private call, a Zoom call, where it's on video. And I wonder if you would be up to sharing some of the inside stories, like the story you just shared, so that people...
The production, like pre-production inside
stories? Yeah, the inside story of the stories.
Oh.
So, back in, you know, during this event in my life, this was one of those
times.
Where I was challenged and hurt, and then people could have a little back and forth. So it's like a private talk where they can ask questions, but we've got different topics.
Like fun.
So that'd be a bonus for buying the book early.
Yeah, we're doing that whole 99-cent launch thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the first day launch, the ebook will be 99 cents.
Maybe we could bring on special guests. Like, I would be a special guest.
Yes, always. You're my permanent special guest.
I'd probably be the monitor.
Moderator.
Moderator, there you go. But maybe some other people. We can bring on some other people. We bring on your mom. Zara.
I've been around since the beginning. That's funny.
Yeah, we can work that out. We can bring down some special guests. I have some people in mind.
Okay.
I'm just being silly about your mom, because your mom would just call you lovely.
Right.
Yeah, she's my lovely.
Oh, that's funny.
Is there anything... Now, the hardest part was, which took the longest, was just to get started. But is there anything you can give to other people that are out there that have a story? What finally got you to launch, as far as begin to put the book together? Like, what?
It's funny, everybody asks me this question, but honestly, I said it the other day, I think on air too. No, it was literally the Lord. I mean, I was in the middle of the darkest, deepest struggle of my life, and the Lord kept saying, write the book. Oh, you start the book. Okay, it's time. Time to start the book. And I was like, really in the middle of this, like, this is what I have to focus on right now. Like the book, I couldn't get away from the voice literally every single day. It was like starting the ministry. I don't remember God talking to me like that since he talked to me about starting the ministry and emailing my 60,000 subscribers that I was no longer a Muslim, where he just, it would not let up. So I actually do not know why now, but it's time. It's his time.
And so then you sit down at a desk, at your desk. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out where to start. How difficult was that? I mean, or was there just something that you already had in place that allowed you to put it all together?
Well, let's be fair. Okay. So I wrote thousands and thousands of words of articles. And so backing up, I started the book 2 years ago before my father died, 2.5 years ago before my father died. I was in negotiations with Salem about publishing. And so I looked up a couple of templates and then just started because I owed them an outline. So as I thought about the template throughout the last 2 years, I was jotting down subtitles, titles, outlines, journal notes, thinking about my articles and starting to form a sketch. So by the time I now am doing the article, when I went to our friends, Melanie and Jen, I was like, I've got a tremendous amount of content. I need an editor to help me coordinate this into these five topics. And I told you, I feel like we had this discussion already. Did we not have this discussion?
On some level, I'm just trying to make it so that it's like in a...
People, did I say this already? I feel like I have like menopause brain, but it's like coming back to me. Like, I think I had this conversation already.
There are parts of it, but you're telling me stuff that I was not completely aware of.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I knew that my content fit in there, but I was overwhelmed by the thought of doing it myself. So the editor has basically taken all of that content and put these subheadings, and now we're off to the races. Filling it in.
Yeah. So I know that there's a little bit that we talked about, but I wanted to come to this point. How do you come up with, what was the most important thing about the message? What is it you want people to take away from your book about how to go from being a Muslim to becoming Christian? Is that the very narrow part of it? Or is there something that somebody who's not Muslim could still get out of reading your book?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually written to a female Christian audience. My avatar, my audience, is Christian women that may be far from God, or women in general that feel like they don't have victory. So I said, what I want women to come away from is that you can achieve victory in your family. First of all, yourself. You need victory in yourself. In your family, in your society, in politics, and in religion. So those are the five major subcategories. So all the topics that I talk about are achieving victory in each of those. So I want every reader to go away with, oh, okay, I think I can do this. I think this is possible. Mm-hmm. And then what does that victory look like for you?
Do you think... it'd be helpful for women who have had trauma?
Absolutely. Because I talk a lot about that. My trauma, my daughter's trauma. That's one thing I told the editor. I was like, I really want it. I said, people look at me now and I look like I don't have any trouble. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, she's always had it easy. And I'm sure life's pretty easy for her. And so I wanted to make sure that my backstory is conveyed in a way that people understand that it was, you know, I'd gotten to a point where everything had collapsed and everything that I had built had collapsed. So I was literally starting over at 50 years old.
Wow.
No religion, no family, no friends, no job. You know, so it was just, I had no idea where to start.
I thought the other day when we had a, you know, we have community groups at our house, and then we have our Sunday once a month home church where people come over. And in one of these sessions, there was a young lady who just suddenly began to break down and cry, and felt like she just was confused about where her life was going and where she was, and that she could barely make it make ends meet, and whether she was going to be able to even stay where she's living now. What I found amazing is that there is this perception that you have just always been, you know, where you're at now.
Yeah.
But you were able to come in immediately and begin to console her and say, listen, this is a journey that you're going to be on, but it's going to be an amazing one. You want to talk a little bit about where you went with her or how?
Well, that's what I tried to explain to her. I said what I just said. I said, you know, I had faced all those things. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know who I was. So forget the fact that, okay, my job, because she was very worried about her job, and that she's doesn't know she's living, you know, hand to mouth and really afraid of what the future held. And I was like, you know, I had all of that and I didn't know who I was. Like, I had literally left a religion, hadn't met Jesus yet, but I left a religion that had provided my entire world. They provided my friends. They provided my family. They provided my social life. They were literally my entire existence, other than living and breathing and eating. You know what I mean? And they were gone. So it was, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I wanted to be. I didn't know how I was supposed to behave. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I have this young child looking at me like, okay, so now what?
What'd you just do?
Like,
it was like you were kidnapped, but you were kidnapped by yourself.
I was kidnapped by myself, and I kidnapped her because she woke up like, you know,
with a family the day before.
Yeah.
It went to sleep and woke up without a family.
It gone. Mm-hmm. All her friends were gone. Her house was gone. Her home was gone.
Wow.
And so it, like, all of her toys, like, she lost everything overnight, and she's looking at me like, what didn't we just do? You know? And that was really hard. And that was really hard because I had to answer, to her, and I had to answer to myself. And, so I will talk in that chapter about how the Lord brought me through all of that and all the things that I needed to be delivered from, all of the generational curses, all of the words spoken over me, one thing I told my daughter, I said, you know, people will always tell you about promiscuity, that the risk of promiscuity is that you give a piece yourself. I said, that's absolutely true. But the worst part about promiscuity is that the guy leaves a piece of him in you. Mm-hmm. And so and she kind of looked at me like, what do you mean? And we know this biologically, scientifically, that semen stays in a woman for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, so there's the scientific proof of that, but spiritually, mentally, you create a soul tie with people that you fornicate with that are not a spouse.
Wow.
And so that soul tie will imprint on you and will imprint on your soul. And so habits, things they said, things they do, smells, locations, all of those things are now imprinted on you. And you have to spend, like, I spent a good year and a half just praying that stuff off, you know, and trying to sit in prayer, recalling each of those instances, each of those people, and realizing in prayer with God what they had imprinted on me that I needed to denounce and repent from.
Wow.
It's a very elaborate process that a lot of people don't. And then people go through life, especially as Christians, they get reborn and they're like, why is my life not changing?
Promiscuity isn't that much different than being a rape victim, it sounds like.
Sure. Sure. Whether the rape victim has the added negative that you didn't want to, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So you have the trauma of that, but spiritually, promiscuity has that soul tie imprint, even if it was a loving relationship. More so if it was a loving relationship.
Oh wow, that's so interesting. But I do think that, I mean, just like your discussion with that young lady on the couch, as we were all kind of sharing, many of us were sharing where we had been. We didn't, we wanted her to know she's definitely not alone.
Right.
I mean, between the men and the women in there, we were able to share some of our stories. But I think that that's an important testimony to women who are confused and maybe can't even figure out why.
Exactly.
And then they'll learn, oh, wait a minute. What did you just talk about with the, you know, the men leaving a portion of them inside you? I mean, that's something that I don't know that I've ever heard of before.
Oh, really?
And I was involved in as a detective in sex crimes for many years. But no, that's really an important issue that women need to be aware of.
Yes.
That are wondering, why can't I get past this?
Why
is this sticking with me?
And so Kate says something. She says a cross dealt with the imprint. Kate, in my opinion, of course, everybody has a different opinion. The cross deals ultimately with our salvation. We are pure. We are purified by Christ ultimately. And our repentance, our salvation, our eternal destiny is covered by the cross. But you take your mind and heart and habits with you in this life. And that's what I feel is where women don't have victory, is that they are a new creation internally, but that is covered by the habits of their mind and their heart and their lusts and their temptations and their desires, not realizing that they have to fight those. Wow. You know, because the Lord has put a new spirit and wants to regenerate you. But if you don't let it, then you can live in misery and have a new soul.
Wow.
Because you're not, you know, allowing it to regenerate you. You're not allowing the Lord to regenerate you in this life.
Wow, that's such an important message. I hope
thank you,
Ray and Zara and even and Courtney, our daughters will hear this story and understand how important it is to understand that they are God's daughters.
Amen.
And that God does not want that for them.
Nope.
In this life.
Oof. And Maria says, shalom and blessings, loving hosts. Hello. Shalom, shalom. And Carrie says, Hedia, oh my, I know exactly what you mean by the imprint and repentance for me. As I think back, how dumb were you, Carrie? And we can't help it. You know, we didn't know at the time, or we should have known better. And we try. But again, it's so important to be able to, at least wherever we stand now, to look back and repent. For surely the Lord is gracious and kind and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But we need to get it off.
I know we're getting a little close on time here, but what are there steps that someone would take? Once they know that I want to cleanse myself of him, not big H, of the past.
I do outline steps. This is just from what I've learned. I've just kind of pieced together. So I read a lot. I mean, you'll see that this closet cabinet of books is filled with books on repentance and deliverance. So I tried to give a skeleton outline of what I thought was most important. But I truly believe there are steps that you could take that are all just based on your relationship with the Lord.
Awesome.
Wow. And I think you've seen me talk about it with people before, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, there were other people that complimented you or commented on you were like Superwoman. You just suddenly, you and I just like made eye contact and we swapped because I was sitting next to her. We were on the opposite sides of the couch and then like made eye contact and then we, and you went in there and went to work, took action.
Oh, my heart broke for her.
Yeah.
It continues to break. I pray for her every day. Cause I know that feeling, of just, I am never getting out of this hurricane, like a hurricane of my own creation. But it was, yeah, it's just such a horrible feeling when you're in it.
You know, it's so important for, and this is going to be an obvious statement, because it even says in the Bible that iron sharpens iron. You know, men need men and women need women, mentors. That we could have a discussion with a woman about, you know, being broke, but it's not the same. We would look, we sometimes look at things from different perspectives of how we got there. And then understanding, you know, the questions to ask or when to speak and when not to speak and those types of things is clearly done differently in the men's world as it is to the in the women's world. So I think that was the really important
and part of that. I'm grateful because Melanie and Jen asked really good questions too, you know, and they were saying they asked this really good question where they said to me, what makes a woman fail? Like, how does she not have victory? And I said, she just refuses to take the steps. And she's like, have you seen that? And I'm like, I see it all the time. Oh. I see it all the time where people just don't want, it's hard. They don't want to change their life. They don't want to eat better. They don't want to be sober.
Right.
They don't want to take care of themselves. I'm talking about like a self-victory. You know what I mean? So they just, they want to feel better without the work it takes to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the issues with, you know, well, you need to read more of the Bible. Well, I get bored or I
don't care.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't care. You get bored. So do I. Okay. So just pick up the book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Take it in small chunks. Yeah. You don't have to read it all. You don't have to devour it all in one bite.
No. And I mean, I just, and sometimes it's hard also to give advice to people when there's a lot of people in the room because things are being shot from all directions.
Yes.
So it's, it makes it very difficult to be very succinct, but I don't believe there is anybody on the planet that can't download a Bible app, open the 1-year Bible, and spend 10 to 15 minutes reading that. You know what I mean? At the bare minimum, if you could wake up and read 3 posts on Facebook, you could do that.
Right. Yeah. You can spend that much time on Instagram.
If you're reading, you're capable of reading 3 posts, you can read the 1-year Bible allocation for a day. So that's one of the things. That's what I mean by not wanting to change.
And that has to do with diet. That has to do with exercise, getting out and walking. You've been talking about some of how going out and just simply walking out in the sun will change your entire perspective of a day.
Absolutely.
The vitamin D, between the vitamin D and the cardiovascular and spending time alone with God.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those things that you just get out and do. You don't think of an excuse why you can't. I don't have enough time. Wake up earlier.
Yeah. It's just go to bed earlier. Wake up earlier. I was telling Melanie and Jen this example, and some of you may not appreciate this example at all, but I'm going to say it anyways, that I had a friend that who's decided that she was going to grow out her hair because she was too lazy to color it anymore. Married, children, pretty lady, but literally said to me, not because of money, not because she has an allergic reaction to dye. I know all of those excuses, all of those explanations. So all of those are valid, but literally told me she just is too lazy, doesn't want to do it anymore. And then she's proceeding to tell me how miserable she feels. And I said, honey, I love you, but every time you look in the mirror, that has got to totally freak you out. That's not helping what's happening right now at all.
Right.
And she's like, you mean my hair being 2 colors? And I was like, yes, it looked crazy. Half of it was brown. Half of it was white. And I was like, you must feel like a clown. You know, we were close enough friends for me to be able to say that. And she laughed and she's like, you're absolutely right. And the next time I saw her, her hair was all coiffed and done. And I was like, that's the girl I remember, you know? And it's just, you do it not because you're trying to impress somebody. You're doing it because you want to look back at the person in the mirror and be like, I love you. You're great. You know?
Yep. Well, I mean, it's so true for a lot of different things, especially when you work at home. I've always told people, and I do this myself, is that if I'm going to work from home, I still get up and take a shower as if I'm going to work. I don't go to my desk. Have you ever seen me at my desk?
In your boxers?
Yeah, my boxers with my hair all jacked up. I don't do that.
You don't, actually.
I get up and take a shower and I go to work. Yes. And I just go out the door and back into the door. And here I am in my office.
Yes.
Because how are you going to, when you talk on the phone, you'll talk like you are in your boxers.
And that you smell.
Yeah. And then your work will have the same smell. Yeah. Because you're not taking it serious. And I would say if you want to feel better about yourself, you get up, you take a shower, you comb your hair, brush your teeth. Make sure your nose is clear. You check and make sure there's no hair sticking out.
You guys would think this is obvious, but not necessarily.
No. And that's why I put a post up the other day, and I do it every so often, because I'll catch this 30-year-old man walking around in his pajamas outside at the grocery store. I said, what kind of parents did you have right? That you think that that's okay?
Or maybe that he had very strict parents and he's like, nah, 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 oh, I get to walk around in my pajamas.
What a turd.
I have a feeling my daughter would do that, just to get out and just throw food on the floor just because she can. Finally, I finally could throw food.
Those are
the
people that say, you know, I just can't have any success. I'm trying, I'm doing all these things. I'm watching all these videos. I'm buying all these books. I'm doing all these things, but I just can't get any success. And then I told you, I used to go, when I'd interview people for a job, I'd meet them at their car and I'd look inside their car. And if their car was a shambles, I wouldn't hire them.
Right.
Because that's what they're going to do inside of my business.
Yeah.
They're not going to take it serious. I tell my son all the time, wash your car and clean it out. It's like making your bed. The good news is he makes his bed in the morning. He just doesn't take out the trash on the trash day once in a while. I remind him of that.
Maria says, walk and listen to audio Bible in between reading. Yeah, no, yes. Maria, we did the whole nine yards. We did the whole, you can read it, you can listen to it. You can actually open the one-year Bible and push the sound.
Yeah, I would read to you.
You know, and it'll read it to you.
And you get to pick a voice. It could be a woman's voice.
Yeah,
man's voice.
It could be those fancy English voices too. Some people just don't want to do it.
We heard everything. I tried. I said, do this, do that. No, I tried that.
Yeah.
No matter what. One last thing is that you have found it very interesting to pay attention to what's going on with Candace Owens. And we want to have a discussion about what you have.
Yes, I want to do a show on it.
You want to share a little bit with people so they know what the show's going to be about?
For any of you that are watching the controversy, she's being accused of being an anti-Semite. And it's a long string of comments that she's made. And I told Andy I want to title the show, Is She an Accidental Anti-Semite? I didn't want to take the opinion of other people, so I listened to hours and hours of Candace's own podcast. At this point, I'm quite sick of it. But but it's just I actually find it pretty anti-Semitic. Mm. I am really uncomfortable with the way she posits a lot of issues, and especially the way she talks about the entertainment industry and the media, and constantly referring to the Jews. And I was like, I couldn't imagine anybody going up to her and being like, well, it's because you blacks have this thing. I mean, like, she would lose her mind. And who would be allowed to say that? Yeah. Who would be allowed to be you blacks?
Yeah.
You know? So I just think a lot of her stuff has been unconstructive. And it's interesting because I think, I don't know if it was you or somebody else that asked me about the two of them, that asked me about Candace and asked me about Charlie Cook. Or it was somebody at church. And I was like, you know what? I'm not really a fan of either. And
well, we've talked about that a few times.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I told them because I knew them when they first came into the movement. And so they were young. They were arrogant. And I was worried because we have an expression in DC called the blue flame, which is like, don't be a blue flame, which is you become really famous, really popular fast, but you die. You die out because you have no oil in your lamp, as the Christians say, you know? And that's what worries me, is that she's so uncompromising. And at this point, quite arrogant. She won't listen to reason. And it does a great disservice, I think, to the entire conservative Christian movement, because suddenly everybody's associating everything that comes out of her mouth with the rest of us. And her comments about Israel are just flat out theologically wrong.
Right.
Just completely wrong.
All right. When do you think we could do that show?
I don't know. Maybe over the weekend.
All right.
You ready? It's Easter.
Yeah, it's Easter weekend.
Yeah.
We don't want to. Yeah. That's a...
We're going to focus on Jesus.
Yeah, we better just do the devotional on Easter.
Yes. Let's focus on Jesus.
Maybe sometime next
week. Look at this. Kelly Singus has her husband's an airline pilot, and people show up for a flight in their pajamas. Actually, yes, that includes our children.
Yeah, the kids.
I thought you meant the pilot.
No, but I mean, the kids. I can accept young girls because that's just kind of what they do. But I'm talking about, I mean, my thing is with
men. You know the flannel pajamas? Like, so the teenagers with the flannel pajamas. Then you started to see the moms in the flannel pajamas. Yeah. But now we're seeing the dads in the flannel pajamas. Literally with bedroom slippers and flannel pajamas at Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. We've lost men. Yeah. We've lost them. It is really crazy. Carrie, I just want to read this. Hedia, oh my. I know exactly what you mean by imprint and repent. Oh, did you?
I did.
I was thinking about my next question. Sometimes that happens. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. But it was important to repeat it, I think.
Okay.
All right. So we want to close out in prayer?
Sure.
All right.
Dear Lord, thank you for all of the blessings that you have bestowed on us without measure. Thank you for good health, for love, for joy, for faith, Lord. Faith in the things that we have not seen, for that is the substance of faith, is that we believe what we have not yet seen, Lord. And thank you for each of our purposes, the purposes that you've set about for us before the foundations of the earth, and that may we walk in them and be faithful to the mission that you have for us here on earth. And thank you for each of our testimonies. We overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Lord. And we're so grateful to each and every one of us that has a testimony to share and to bring others closer to you, Lord. Thank you for your son. And thank you for this wonderful, wonderful holiday where we get to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. Of course, most importantly, that he is risen from the grave, that he promises us eternal life, that we repent and believe unto him. May you draw our family members closer to him. May they experience him and come to saving faith in Christ, our children, our parents, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our neighbors, any of those who do not yet know you, Lord. May this season be what draws them close to you. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, we love you guys.
Love you.
God bless you.
Bye. Take care. Bye.